Hi, I'm Omar Begill, and you're listening to the official AFC Wimbledon podcast. Come on, you Dons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the official AFC Wimbledon podcast with me, Aaron Paul. Really interesting episode coming up for you on this one as we sit down with a man at the beginning of his journey with our magnificent football club. James Woodruff is our new managing director, having arrived from Crystal Palace. Prior to joining the Eagles, James worked with Liverpool Football Club and the England and Wales Cricket Board with roles in content, marketing and public relations. Our chat is wide-ranging. We look back at James' first few weeks as our new MD and the future of our football club. So let's get straight into it. James, good morning. Welcome to Wimbledon. Thanks for joining us here at Plough Lane on the official podcast. First of all, how good was it to meet the lifeblood of our club, our incredible supporters in the Phoenix last night?
Thanks for the welcome. It was a really nice event. We had about, 40 or so, 50 maybe, supporters, where Thorpey asked me a few questions and I had probably more than I expected questions. I think we probably had 20-odd questions from various supporters, which was really enlightening, actually. I hope I answered all of the questions very honestly, and there were some that I didn't know the answer to. So hopefully I can address some of them in future weeks, and some of them may even come out on this podcast. But it was a really warm welcome. Everywhere I've gone, actually, has been I've had a warm welcome on match days. The staff have been brilliant in my first 4 weeks. I've had really positive conversation. I've come into an organisation that is brimming with optimism and positivity, and I'm really happy and excited to be here.
Tell me about the first few weeks in your new role as managing director. What have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been a really busy 4 weeks. We've had four match days, a few women's match days, tons of events that I'm sure we'll touch on. I've really spent the first 4 weeks asking loads of questions and listening to all of my staff and supporters and volunteers and board members, former players. I've tried to immerse myself in the club, so I really get up to speed quickly on who we are, what we do, why we do it. I think Mark Jones has been in particularly really helpful on that. I've spent a lot of time with Mark talking about the way we do things and how we should approach things, which has been really a really helpful sounding board, as has Chris Stewart and Mick and all the team and board members. But really the first 4 weeks focus for me has been about listening and observing and hopefully making some positive changes and asking some questions and making sure, just sense checking everything really. Before I start making decisions, I just need to be really comfortable in who we are as a club and how we operate.
Has it been a positive start? What kind of things have you encountered so far?
Well, I've really enjoyed it. I think what I've encountered is almost every meeting I go into, I come out with a list of questions or issues we need to think about and consider. I think my initial observation coming in, because I suppose I'm still in that fresh wide eye mode, is we've got a really small team. Like, we're a really lean operation. There's about 30 or so full-time staff and an army of volunteers who would just continue to astound me, really. But we're a really lean operation. Everywhere we look is, you know, people working very long hours, being very stretched and putting 100% into everything they do. I think one of the things hopefully I can bring is just making sure that we're ruthlessly focusing on the right things. And with a lean team, you have to be really on it about the projects we're taking on, the events we're doing, making sure they're delivered brilliantly and we're getting maximum return from our staff. Because as Ian McNay, who's a long-time friend and sponsor and board member of the club, said, time is the most precious resource we have. And I think that's really relevant for us as a football club. We've got loads of brilliant people, really capable. We're trying to do a lot, but we're really lean and we need to remember that. So we're going to focus on big projects. We can deliver them brilliantly. And yeah, I'm really excited about the things we can do together.
What has the welcome been like from our supporters? Have you been able to enjoy the matchday experience, which is really, really unique and like fan-driven?
Matchdays are brilliant. I mean, that's the highlight of the week, isn't it? I mean, I've met tens of fans and it's interesting. I bump into people that I used to work with or went to school with and, you know, all these things that, you know, all these connections to Wimbledon I didn't actually realise I had. It's been really excellent. I've enjoyed the match days thoroughly. We've had issues crop up here and there, but we've got a really capable team to deal with those issues. I think that the match day experience, the fan experience, from what I can see, has been excellent. I love the pub. I love the Viticult Lounge. It's a really nice vibe. The food part that Bal has put together is just sensational. I don't think you will find a better food offering in any football ground in the country. I think it's just wicked. And the foundation team do a brilliant job around the corner as well with the inflatables and all the kids running around. I love Hayden, the Womble, despite my two-year-old being in floods of tears when she met him. It was a bit scary. But she's asked me about him every day since that episode, which shows she's very interested in the Womble and who he is. But no, to answer your question, the fan experience seems brilliant. I'm aware that there are some teething issues. Like, you know, I see we've done a couple of surveys in recent weeks asking supporters how their experience has been, season ticket holders and ticket holders. And there are some niggles, but I think that is quite common for a football stadium. Like, you know, it sometimes takes a few minutes to get into the stadium. We get that. We're looking and scoping out whether we can add an additional turnstile, for example, to help alleviate some of the queues. You might have to queue a couple of minutes to get your beer at halftime. But on the whole, I think these are really small operational tweaks we can make easy. Hopefully we can make positive change to. But overwhelmingly, you know, you want people coming in and leaving, you know, being greeted well by staff, having brilliant service, enjoying their food and drink, watching a brilliant game of football, supporting the team and leaving with a smile on their face. And so they go and tell their family and friends, you know what, that's a really special club and I want to come back again and I'd like you to come with me. So I think that's, you know, in its purest terms, we want everyone to have a brilliant match day. From what I've seen, we have a brilliant match day experience and I very much hope we can make it even better in the weeks and years to come.
People associate our club with potential and the word potential is bandied around a lot, especially with the facility we have here at Plough Lane. But what does potential in the context of the football club mean to you?
Well, you're right. It's a remarkable stadium. I mean, the whole story about Wimbledon Football Club and AFC Wimbledon is just remarkable. And I'm sort of astounded by how the fans have got this club to this point. It really is a testament to everyone involved, and I know there have been thousands of people involved, and obviously the founders played an integral part to that. So yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. The stadium is fabulous. You know, it's a Championship, if not Premier League's quality stadium. It's has the potential certainly to be, you know, one of the best stadiums in the country. And I think that, you know, I'm here because I see that potential. As a local resident, I've seen what this club and the volunteers and the fan owners have delivered here, building this remarkable thing. And I'm really excited about what the future holds for this club. And whilst the football decisions are sort of, you know, Craig and the board's focus, I'm here to make sure we're delivering an outstanding fan experience and to help grow revenues as much as we possibly can, keep a lid on costs as best we possibly can, but really making sure that we deliver a brilliant matchday experience. The potential is limitless. I mean, I wouldn't want to put a lid on it and say, you know, we only want to be a League One club, or we only want to be a Championship club, or we do want to get into the Premier League. It's too early for me to say those things. The first step probably is for us all to agree that, you know, we really want to get out of League Two. We want to get into League One. That would be a brilliant first step. Equally, our women hopefully are going to win the league, get into Tier 3. That's huge signs of progress. And then we can look at, okay, what do we develop next? How do we really make use of this brilliant facility that we've got? But really, my initial focus is on making sure we have a brilliant fan experience and we welcome all parts of the community and football fans from all over the world to come to AFC Wimbledon and have a brilliant match day and think, I'm going to support that team. They're going to be my second favourite team, whatever it might be. Create a relationship with the club, because this club has so much going for it. The history, the stadium, you know, the colours, the shirt, the Womble, everything. It's just got such, it's the ultimate identity. Packet. Yeah, it's got brilliant identity. It's got fabulous history. But as Mick, the chairman, keeps reminding me, really, you know, we've got to remember our history and our past. But, you know, my job is about looking forward to the future and how we can help grow it to even bigger and better things.
What about the work this club does in the community? I mean, we continue to prove that Merton and Wimbledon deserve a football club, despite what a commission said however many years ago. How important is it for us to engage more with Merton, with the local area, the surrounding areas, and continue pushing our positive presence?
Well, really, Wimbledon Football Club and AFC Wimbledon is a pillar of our community, and long may that continue. I've spent time with Craig and Xavier at DLAG and also Paul and the team at the foundation, and I'm blown away really by the community impact that this army of volunteers and also staff members that the foundation have, and you know, they are doing brilliant things with people in our community that need help. They're improving the lives of people they're working with on a day-to-day basis, whether it's, you know, football skills or life skills or, you know, employment prospects, whatever it might be. There's so much good work going on. We are a pillar of this community, and I really, you know, we should be really proud of that. And hopefully, you know, it seems to be working brilliantly. All these various organisations that you've mentioned are working together really well, and long may that continue. And I just want to make sure that we are really taking advantage of the impact we can have on our community. And, you know, we have to be, it's got, in this part of London, you know, there are millions of people that are within our catchment area. And as I said, I want as many people to walk through the doors from all parts of our community to come through have a brilliant experience, whether that's on a match day, on a non-match day for an event, a wedding, a conference, whatever it may be. We want to make sure people come through the door and go, wow, look at this place. I want to come back and I want to bring my friends and family. But because we are such a pillar of the community, you know, we are well liked, we're respected locally. I just want to broaden that audience as much as we possibly can. And the first challenge really is to make sure we're actually sold out every game, right? I know there's an issue with some spare seats when we say it's sold out. You know, we're going to address that. We want to make sure every seat is filled and we all have a part to play in that.
With regards to the story, I mean, how do we push forward and tell our story to a wider audience?
So the first thing we've got to do, the immediate priority, is to make sure we have a massive impact on our community and local area, and we make sure that everyone who lives within a couple of mile radius is aware that we are here, we're home, come and join us, come and enjoy a game. That's really important. We've got to get the basics right. We've got to make sure we're sold out on match days. And we have a roster of events, whether it's, you know, rugby league or women's football or whatever it might be. We want people coming through the doors. Got to get that bit right. Internationally, how do we use this remarkable story? I think that, you know, other clubs have had some success in telling their story through documentaries or films. I think that is an obvious space for us to explore. I'm not going to commit either way to what route we're going to look at. I think we'll look at all the options available to us. And I know that there's been interest in recent years about, you know, a documentary or a film, which is really exciting. I have experience in projects like that. We at Crystal Palace, we made a documentary series which we sold to Amazon, which was around the club's administration in 2010 and the subsequent promotion to the Premier League, spearheaded by Chairman Steve Parrish, which was a really great bit of television. And we also did a documentary series with Channel 4 and South Shore about the club's academy. And we noticed, you know, a huge spike in interest into the club, particularly from overseas, as you mentioned. So, you know, to reach an international audience and help our story become more well known for people that don't know it, using media and content to do that is a really important part of the mix and something we will definitely be exploring, but it's too early days for me to say what that route might end up looking like. But the crucial bit is, as you said yourself, we've got the most amazing story. And anyone that hears it will think, God, I need to support that club, or I'm going to keep an eye out for Wimbledon's results. So the most important thing is we've got that story. We've just got to work out the best way of telling it.
Volunteers play such a pivotal role in what we do at the club. How important is it for us to recognise them and show appreciation for what they do?
When I was applying for the job and speaking to people associated with the club and friends that had involvement with the club, they all talked about the volunteers. And I couldn't quite believe it when I got here and I find, you know, there's two volunteer lawyers on a match day that are there to help us sort our contracts out, and, you know, all the programme sellers and all the people in the ticket office and the club shop and in the museum, and, you know, everywhere you look, there is someone that is giving their time to help this football club. And it's really humbling and heartwarming. And spending time with DLAG and the foundation, both organisations are remarkable in their own rights. And it's such an asset to this club. And the fact that people are willing week in, week out, and probably over many years, and even reading in Eric's book, you know, the importance of volunteers is just remarkable. And I'm really hopeful that they feel valued. In fact, I had a question on it last night, and I was really pleased to learn one of the supporters came and spoke to me and said that Cherry Red Records, on the penultimate away day of every season, which is this Saturday at Swindon, Cherry Red Records pay for volunteers to have a brilliant day out and, you know, travel and a meal, and shown a bit of love and affection and appreciation, which is so important because these people are the lifeblood of the club. And we've got to make sure that they are enjoying their time with us and feel valued. And it's just, it's blown me away. And I really, I look forward to working with them all and meeting as many of them as possible. And please, if you're listening, rest assured that every one of you is valued by the club. And I really hope that you have an enjoyable experience at the club, and long may it continue.
We continue to fill the non-match day diary with events. It is so important for us to boost revenues by utilising Plough Lane. How pleased are you with the events you've been to in the past few weeks, and what do we need to do to make sure that we're maximising what we can offer at our stadium?
Yeah, I mean, all of the events that you mentioned there have been brilliant. I particularly enjoyed the evening you hosted in celebration of Football Manager, because it was a real, for me, it was, firstly, it was a brilliant event, and right, the only right that we celebrate the longest running sponsorship in English football. But to have, for me, to have such an immersion from, you know, the founders of the club, former players, former managers, current staff, it was just magic. It was such a special evening, and congrats for hosting it so well. I just thought it was, the room looked amazing. Fans that were lucky enough to be there had a great time, and we raised some money for two important charities as well. So that was brilliant. You know, the Open Iftar event that you mentioned, where we had 300 people, 300 guests, probably from a part of the community that, you know, hadn't been here before. That's a really heartwarming event that we've put on. The Junior Dons training session, the business club you mentioned, I met some of the brilliant sponsors we have, and that was a really fabulous evening in Wimbledon Quarter at the Golf Groove. I mean, all of the, you know, even Alan Smith, who's a friend of mine, and Steve Coppell putting on a great event to raise money for the training ground. I mean, it's basically been every day and every night. I'm sort of walking in, going, "Who's here today?" And it's Merton Council or the NHS, or, you know, the breadth of the community that we're touching is really phenomenal, whilst also offering brilliant events for our supporters to come and enjoy talking football. You know, that's the bread and butter. But it's fantastic that we're broadening out this remarkable facility to so many parts of our community. And, you know, as you said, it's a brand new space, and it's going to take time to make sure that, you know, we've always got something going on here on a non-match day. But we've got a really committed team that are actively, you know, trying to get more people in the building. So, and we've got really, you know, we talked about the importance of volunteers, but I would stress that we've got 30-odd really committed, highly capable staff that are really taking the driving the club forward and maximising the opportunity the stadium is giving us.
In your chat with supporters at the Phoenix, I know discussions with regards to season ticket pricing happened. What can you tell us about structures and plans for the upcoming campaign?
Yeah, so when I joined, Chris Stewart, Bal and Laurie, our head of finance here, were had a proposal they'd been developing on season ticket pricing. And I think that we are really hopeful to get that to supporters just before the Walsall game, for hopefully supporters will be renewing their season tickets. But the sort of guiding principles were, we need to make sure that any price rises are modest and in line with, you know, the wider inflationary issues that we're all facing. But also, you know, crucially, we're trying to positively impact the playing budget, right? So we want to give Craig and Johnny and the women's team a bit more money to spend. So we've got to find the right balance between maximising the playing budget impact, but also making sure that we have affordable options for supporters who want to join us and perhaps can't afford the most expensive seats. So we've got to make sure we've got the right balance, and that is the thing we've been working on. We've been working with the Don Trust Board and the PLC Board on just finalising what that looks like. But there are some sort of key principles that I'm really hopeful that we will get over the line, which include freezing the price in the family stand and in the standard section of the Rye stand, which I think are really, we've got to make sure that we have affordable entry level options. So we, you know, going back to the earlier point, make sure that everyone has the ability to come and join us at AFC Wimbledon. So those are the sort of key principles, but hopefully when it lands in supporters' inboxes in the week before the Walsall game, people will understand the context to the pricing, and I will explain more the week before the Walsall game, just with a bit more context. We have a board meeting where we're just finalising all the pricing. I'm hopeful we will get through that process, and yeah, we'll be in a position to launch Paul Walsall.
I know there have been frustrations with regards to empty seats and ticket reselling and reissuing processes at the club. It feels like a bit of an ongoing issue. Where are we with regards to the potential solution?
Yeah, well, ticket resale, it's really important that we have a clear and simple ticket resale process. And we need to make sure that supporters who do resell their ticket get a fair amount of value back. I suppose the one thing we can all agree on is the most important thing is to have every seat filled, because we want Johnny's team to have a packed house and the players want it, and it makes such a difference to the performance. So we also recognise that committing to 23 games is like a massive commitment, and not there is going to be a scenario where you might have to miss a game or two. So we need to provide a platform for you to be able to get rid of that ticket in some way. So what I would say to all season ticket holders is please use your ticket, and if you can't, give it to a friend, contact the ticketing team, or list it for resale when we make that available. Now, when I came in, the value that we were offering back to season ticket holders where we sold their ticket was 20%. So if you had a ticket, if you had a £460 ticket, season ticket, effectively the value of that game is £20 a game. With the current system, you were getting £4 back if you were lucky enough to sell your ticket. My view on that is that it's not enough value back to the season ticket holders. Go through the admin of listing it, fiddling about the ticket system and you know, hoping that someone will buy it and you'll get £4 back. It's not a great return. It's not a fair return. So for Walsall, we're changing it to 50%. So if you can't make the Walsall game, please list your ticket for resale. And if it's successful in being sold, you'll get a tenner back in that scenario of a £460 season ticket, just for the ease of maths. Whether that's enough of an incentive, time will tell. And hopefully it's a great success and we can look at that for next year. We might have to go a bit higher. I don't know yet. But I think the core principle is it needs to be simple and it needs to be a fair sort of credit or refund for those season ticket holders. And we've basically got to make it easy for people to do it. But the crucial thing is, as I come back to the starting point, we want to make sure every seat is filled because it makes such a difference. And no one wants to see empty seats. No one wins in that scenario.
Is it simply a case of tightening up processes?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I think supporters need to understand that we are at the behest and at the mercy of the ticketing platform we're using, right? So there is only so much the ticketing team can do in terms of, you know, changing the platform. You know, we need to keep asking our ticketing partner to make the process easier. But ultimately, we've got the platform. We're contracted with the platform. We've got to make it work for us. And I'm hopeful that we will be able to simplify the process as much as we can. Or in future, we might have to look at an alternative solution, which we're obviously open to because we know it's a pain point. And, you know, the overall vision is to have 100% occupancy of our stadium. So resale is a really important factor in that, and we've got to get it right.
Tell me about memberships, because it's a word that's used a lot at our club. We've seen so many variations of membership. Is something new en route or in the pipeline?
So membership is a really interesting place for this club, more so than any, because membership of this football club means you are a Don's Trust member and you have the ability to stand for election and also vote on key club matters. It's membership in its truest form. What I've observed is complementary products like Stadium Card, I think it was called Don's Trust Plus, and there have been various other products that have been made available to the fan base, but they have changed year on year, which probably leads to a bit of confusion amongst supporters about what are these other products? Do I need them? Do I not need them? Do I get them in my season ticket? So what we are really close to finalising is a simple, coherent membership product that includes rights to vote, but also club benefits. And I'm really hopeful, with the support of the Don's Trust board, who have been really brilliant in this process, I'm really hopeful that we'll get something over the line for next season where we'll have a simple, coherent, compelling membership that we can sell to supporters. And I'm really excited about it, but we've got to go through the necessary motions with the various boards to get it over the line. So watch this space.
Now, over 1,000 people have got involved with fan engagement surveys that have been posted in the past few weeks. What have you learned from the results?
Yeah, so we came in, so one of the things I'm really clear on is that I need to understand what fans think, because that really should inform us as how we run the business. And obviously the Don's Trust issues its own surveys to its members, and that's really important, and you know, I'm not going to get involved in that. But from a day-to-day club operations point of view, when I came in, I wanted to know what the fans thought of their matchday experience. So we've done two surveys. One was to season ticket holders, ask them about their season ticket and whether they, you know, what they enjoyed, what they didn't enjoy, you know, how their experience was, are they intending to renew? And, you know, as you say, Aaron, 1,000 season ticket holders responded, which is just brilliant. And it gives us a really solid sounding board for us to, you know, tweak the product for next year if we need to. And then we did a match day survey for all ticket attendees, all ticket holders and season ticket holders after the Harrogate game. And I think we had, you know, just under 1,000 supporters respond to that. And that was about things like, you know, how was your food? How was, you know, going to the toilet? How was the, you know, your drinks or your queue, your entry into the stadium, pre-match comms? It was quite a wide-ranging survey. And it's given us a really clear understanding of how that match day was. And it allows us to reflect and refine for the next game. I'm a big believer in having, you know, giving fans an opportunity to have their say. And it's, we should, you know, it gives us also a really good benchmark of, you know, if everyone's moaning about the toilets, not that they did, you know we've got to fix the toilets. Or if the TV wasn't working in the, you know, south stand, whatever it might be, we need to fix it. What that gives us is a really good understanding about what are the biggest issues facing supporters and the ones we need to fix and prioritise. So that's why we did it. And I'm really thankful that supports got involved. And I promise you it won't become too onerous, but it really helps us. You telling us what you think in a really structured way enables us to really focus our energy and efforts on making your next visit even better.
Some more exciting news, and we have a new website and app en route.
Well, it's coming soon. Yeah, Mark Jones has led that project with support from various colleagues of mine. I'm really excited about it. We have been on the EFL platform for many, many years, and I went through this exact process at Crystal Palace where I removed us from the EFL network of clubs, should we say, network of websites, and we are going to be in control of our own digital destiny, effectively. But what that means to supporters is we're going to have a new website, we're going to have a new app, it's going to look wicked, it's going to have all the things you want, video, news, this podcast, exactly, Aaron. We need to make sure that all works neatly with it, but it's going to look great. It's going to simplify your digital experience. I hope it will become a real asset to your day-to-day Wimbledon experience. But Mark's leading that project. I'm really excited about it. We hope to launch it in the summer. It's going to be great.
Is it about making the club more accessible and giving people the club in their hands effectively?
Yeah, I mean, yes, all of those things. The EFL website has been a phenomenal service to all football clubs that have been part of that collective, I must say that. But I think various clubs have got to the position where they have possibly outgrown a templated solution and they want something they're a bit more in control of. And they, you know, they want a bit more history here, or they want a, you know, an advertising spot here for their commercial partners. What we've done effectively is gone to a partner to create our own website and app experience for us. That gives us loads of flexibility. We can do whatever we want with it. And Chris and the guys creating content will, you know, they make their lives easier. But I think it will really just enrich the supporters' experience of consuming news content and video content. And yeah, having an app, speaking from experience, the app was the most brilliant club resource at Crystal Palace. Like you know, the ability to send push notifications with breaking news or informing supporters that, you know, there's travel disruption or the tickets are on sale, whatever it might be. It's just another way of communicating with supporters, which is ultimately what the communications team here are tasked with doing. But we need to give them the tools to be able to do it. And I'm really excited about this project. It's going to look great. And I'm really confident that supporters will notice a much more improved and targeted, relevant messaging service effectively from the club.
On the pitch, it's been a real rollercoaster of a season, but ultimately things have been pretty enjoyable this year. How have you enjoyed watching our men's and women's teams battle things out?
It's been great. I watched the Colchester game, which was mad. League 2 at its finest, I say. I think it was 5-3, 5-2. It was chaos. I loved that. We've had some hard-fought wins over, you know, Salford in particular is very fresh in my memory. Yeah, it was great to see that. Love that. Also, you know, the women's team that I went to see, and they're top of the league, so they've had a brilliant year, which is I'm a huge fan of women's football, not just because I've got two little girls, but I love women's football. I think it's the growth is, you know, we talked about potential earlier. the potential of women's football here in Wimbledon is massive, I think, and I'm really excited about that. But yeah, Johnny and the team, going back to the men's, have had a really positive season, and I think that fans are clearly really positive about Johnny and the team. And yeah, the players have been great. I haven't spent a huge amount of time with them, but I had a brief chat with Omar the other day, and Jack as well, and spending a lot of time with Craig, who's a real ball of energy and great fun to be around. And he's done some brilliant bits of business in the last year or so, and I really look forward to working with him. But yeah, I mean, there's a great vibe around the first team and, you know, the men's and women's setup, and I'm really excited to work even closer with them in the coming weeks.
Now, there's been a bit of a change with regards to end of season awards, and it's all about opening things up to every supporter if they want to attend.
Yes, we are. So the plan is that at the Walsall game, we are going to give out all of the various end of season awards, and we're going to do a couple of them before the match on the pitch. So the Junior Dons Player of the Year, for example, the W Don Player of the Year. And then there's going to be some on the pitch after the game. So straight after the game on the pitch. So every supporter will be able to see and hear some of the award winners being presented before they go home or come and join us for a drink. But the main event really is going to be in the Viticult, the Silver Lounge, the big space we've got on the hospitality level. But it is free for everyone to attend after the game. We want that place to be packed and to celebrate our season, men's and women's team, and see our, you know, some other awards, Player of the Season, Women's Player of the Season, Goal of the Season, all celebrated as a big end of season party that's free to attend. We want it to be a really good event. I encourage everyone to come. We're going to try and get it on the screens in the pub as well, which we're looking at. But yeah, I think that the general view internally was, let's make it a real celebration, free to attend, not a formal sit-down dinner. We'll see how it goes and we can look at it for next year. But that is the decision this year. We're going to have a great night and we should celebrate the season.
James, what do you like with regards to reflection? What are you hoping to achieve in the next year? How will you measure your performance and progress? And how will you reflect in the next year or so, or when we meet again in a year's time?
Well, I'm still a month in, so I'm still in listening mode. I've got some ideas about things I want to do, some projects I want to work with the team on. It's probably too early to, because I haven't scoped them out fully with the team, to say what those are going to be. But in a year's time, I hope we'll either be in League One or on the verge of promotion to League One, I hope, this time next year. I'm hopeful that we'll have great morale in the club, so staff, volunteers, supporters. I'm hopeful that we'll have delivered the new website, the new app, and that will be really well received by fans. I hope we'll have put on tens of events with welcoming new people that have never been here before. I hope that we've got sold out stadium. I'm just really excited about the future. I don't want to get into the weeds of, you know, what each of these projects look like, but I hope that everyone will see progress on and off the pitch. I can't really affect the on the pitch stuff too much. That's Craig and Johnny's focus. But I really hope that we continue to grow our revenue, we continue to limit costs, but we also provide an outstanding supporter experience, which is really the focus of everyone who works here at the football club. And hopefully it won't be a year before we next chat, Aaron. It will be, you know, more regular than that. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm thankful for everyone for the warm welcome. And I'm really excited. I'm really privileged to be in this position, and that is not lost on me.
Finally, and a really important question, who do you support? Who's your team?
Well, I was born and raised in Devon, so I was a season ticket holder at Plymouth Argyle from the early 90s. But my heart was always a bit with Liverpool, and when Plymouth were playing away, my granddad and I would take the long journey up to Anfield pretty much every other home game. We'd watch Liverpool, and Liverpool in the 90s was pretty successful. 95 Cup, 92 FA Cup final, 95 Coca-Cola Cup final. I've got many, many happy memories of travelling with my granddad, yeah, for at least a decade. Very special memories of supporting Plymouth and Liverpool. I then ended up working at Liverpool, which is a story for another day. But those are the clubs that are closest to me. But then, I spent 7 years actually, Chris, my friend, my Scouse friend Chris, reminded me that both of those teams were beaten in big finals at Wembley by Wimbledon, which is, I was at the Plymouth Argyle playoff final. I wasn't at the 88 Cup final. But those are the clubs that have been a huge part of my life. And obviously I worked at Palace for 7 years, so I got to know the players and the ownership, Steve Parrish, the chairman. So I've always going to have a soft spot for Palace. So I'm one of those annoying people that say they've got a few teams, but that is my history. Argyle and Liverpool, but now, you know, I'll always look out for the Palace result, but I'm all in for Wimbledon now. So rest assured, if Wimbledon draw Liverpool or Argyle or Palace in the Cup, I'm only going to want Wimbledon to win.
Now, you've got a young family. I trust your daughters will be becoming Wimbledon fans over time.
Yeah, well, certainly the youngest. I think the eldest has a bit of a soft spot for Palace, but I think she can be converted, and I think the Womble is a massive part of that. The eldest loved the Womble. The little one was quite scared of the Womble, but they came down to the Harrogate game. I found that quite hard, trying to be dad and trying to be, you know, do my day job. So I'm not sure they'll be welcome back at some point in the future, but not in the immediate weeks and months. But when I spoke to Mick about, you know, have the reality of having a young family locally, I wanted them to feel a part of it and come on this, you know, this journey with me. And they are really supportive of the club, and they will definitely be. You'll see me carrying a baby or a 7-year-old around the club. Definitely the women's games as well. You know, they've watched a lot of women's football with me over the years. So please say hello if you see them.
James, this has been a really, really interesting chat. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your openness. Thank you for joining us on the Official Club Podcast. Hopefully you'll become a regular on it.
Top man. And also, I love the pod, Aaron. Thanks for having me on today. But I listened, before I joined the club, I listened to it, and I thought it was a great production. It's brilliant. So keep up the good work. And thanks for having me.
Get every single episode of the Official AFC Wimbledon Podcast the minute it drops. Just head to Acast, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts and hit subscribe.